elements and we'll take communion. And we will celebrate the life of Christ, the death of Christ, and the life of Christ. I would say there's some people that need to be taking this every day right now, maybe three times a day. Look, we've got thousands and thousands upon thousands of Christians that are hiding at home afraid of the coronavirus. That shouldn't be. They should take communion and trust Him. Yeah, I've only heard a couple of times where people have actually mentioned communion during this whole thing. I heard every other different kind of recipe except for the Bible one. Paul said, the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they do not discern the body of Christ. So it stands as a reason that if we do discern the body of Christ, we'll be well. Amen? If you look at this, this bread has been beaten flat. Jesus was certainly beaten for us. He took a terrible beating for us. He was bruised for us. And in this bread, there are stripes. And it's by His stripes that we were healed. This bread has also been pierced. Jesus was not only pierced when He was on that cross, and He took a crown of thorns. He was pierced in His hands and in His feet. Everywhere He got pierced, everywhere He shed His blood, He got some redemption for us. If you look at this bread, it's slightly burned. God took the full wrath. This is really important to understand right now. People are running around saying that this COVID virus is and the bad economy is a judgment of God upon this world. No, God poured the full wrath of His fiery judgment on Jesus when He was on that cross. There's no more judgment left for us. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Period. Jesus' body was broken for us. We're taking this for our healing, our well-being. We're taking the life of Christ into us. Jesus shed His blood all over that place. It was a terribly messy sacrifice. His blood not only washes away our sins and puts us in right standing with God, but His blood protects us. And His blood seals in the New Testament promises for us. We thank You for this. Shall have a Sunday service. Do you ever notice that some people sniff the bread before they eat it? In the grape juice before they drink it? I'm not pointing anybody out. I'm just kind of curious about that. I see a lot of stuff from one pulpit. Kind of curious. It's fun. Open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 11. And we're going to continue on with this creative love giving. You know, I know some of you have thought about creative finances ways for God to be creative and getting money to you, getting blessings to you. Now, before we get started in this, I want you to understand this is not a pull for money for this church or myself. This is to invite you into an experience that some of you may have never experienced in your life. This is freedom in Christ. Okay? I'm going to show you how to get yourself in a place where God can bless you. Amen? And I'm going to show you one of the most creative ways of fighting depression. The Alcoholics Anonymous seems to have a better handle on this than the church world does. One time this old Indian guy, when I was learning how to get sober, this old guy, I went to his house and I was telling him all my problems. And he said, "Man, that sounds pretty bad. Let's go swimming." I said, "What?" "Yeah, yeah, there's a pool party over here and they're going to have hot dogs and everything." I said, "My life's falling apart. What's that got to do with my life falling apart?" He said, "Nothing." Well, all right. So we went swimming and ate hot dogs. Now what do I do? Maybe I might go make coffee at AA meeting. So what's that got to do with all my big problems? Nothing. But it has everything to do with getting you out of yourself so that your big problems will seem a lot smaller. You know, when you help somebody, it makes your life so much nicer. Amen? Well, I don't have anything to help anybody with. You got something, man. You can go pull weeds or do something. You can do something. It doesn't have to be a magnificent thing, but you can do something. And when you start looking for other people's problems to find a way to help them out, you realize that your problems aren't as bad as what you thought they were. If you think you really got problems, just think Bill Clinton is quarantined with Hillary somewhere. Your life could be a lot worse. The biggest part about life is getting out of yourself. And see, that was the whole thing about Jesus. He came in to you so that you could get out into the world. Before we were born again, we were spiritually dead and we had to live for ourselves. That's the only way we could survive. You know, we didn't have any other way to do that. It was every man to himself. Jesus came into us. He became our provider. And then he said, "Now you go into all the world." Amen? There's a lot of things we can be doing right now. If you really, really want to see the creative miracles of God, right now is the prime time to get yourself involved in it. This is the perfect time to see the creative miracles of God. The economy is a wreck. People are terrified. Unemployment is at record highs. Everything is just going crazy. Nobody knows what to do, but God does. Amen? He knows exactly what to do. He knows exactly how to fix your big problem. Now, let's go to, before I go there, one of the things about everybody, right? The world, the church, people tend to fall into the same pattern. When times get hard, when the money gets short, when the economy's a wreck, and jobs are being lost everywhere, people tend to sit on the money. It's clamped down. this be careful. God's not saying to do that. That's the world system. You realize that you are in this world, you are not of this world, and that you have a whole different way of operating if you will allow it to operate in your life. You know, one time there was a prophet. He was sitting under a tree that had a leaf over it, and this raven brought him food. Pretty creative, isn't it? Pretty creative. So let's look here a little bit. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22. The only thing that will keep you from experiencing the creative miracles of God is fear. It's fear. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, says, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat. He that watereth shall be watered also himself." Here's the thing. Scatter blessings out wherever you go. There's opportunities everywhere you go. You can buy groceries, you can buy flowers, you can give just small gifts, you can take food to people. There's somebody that you can bless somewhere. And don't think that God's not watching. And don't think that He won't multiply that seed back to you. He gave it to you in the first part, in the first place. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says that Jesus became poor so that we through His poverty might be made rich. That's the grace of God. We receive from Him, so we have some seed to sow. Amen? We have some blessings to scatter abroad. That's what we do. We get blessed so we can be a blessing. Too often, people get it backwards. They think they bless so they can be blessed. Got it just backwards. You're blessed so that you can bless. He first gave to you so that you can give to someone else. Amen? Don't turn it into a thing of works. Receive from Him and then give to them. Amen? Now, what you give is what you're going to keep, and what you hold on to is what you're going to lose. Amen? God loves a liberal soul. You can just give little blessings all throughout your day, all over the place. Sometimes, and it'll come back to you. I remember one time in particular, I went down to the dollar store, and I just needed one, just a few little items. You know, it was like $20 worth of stuff. But I got up there, and there was this little old woman there, and she had a grocery cart, and she could barely walk. And she had already paid for her stuff when I got there. There was three or four people behind me. And I said, I put my stuff on the counter and I said, just let them guys go. I'm going to help this lady to her car, help her get out and get where she needs to go. So I said, just take it on. So I went out there and it took quite a while. I got her to the car. By the time I got back into the store, I got up there and I grabbed my card and I was getting ready to pay. And she said, no, one of those other guys paid for your stuff. See what I'm saying? Get out of yourself so God can get in there. The John Baptist, he said, I must decrease so that He can increase. The more He increases, the more that blessing is going to flow. Amen. God blesses a bountiful soul. He repays what is cheerfully given. I'm going to show you some examples in the Bible of liberality being blessed. And you're going to think, you're going to see, I'm going to show you how thinking in the natural is contrary to thinking according to the Word of God. And I'll show you things that people would have missed. They would have missed if they would have hung on to the natural way of thinking. Now go to 1 Kings chapter 17. Verse 8. Well, let's get this thing in context. Let's go to verse 1. Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. That's a pretty creative way of being provided for, wouldn't you think? Now, don't go running around looking for a burning bush. But be mindful that God can take care of you even in hard times. This is pretty hard times. There's no rain. They're in a bad way. When you're in a drought in Bible times, that's the same as us having our economy drop to nothing. Having ships giving away oil, paying people to take oil off of the ship. Cattle market crash, droughts, a terrible economy. That's what we're talking about. Maybe even a little worse. But look what happens here. So he went, he did according to the word of the Lord. That's a good place to start. That's a good place to start. God told him what to do. Yeah. I mean, you could sit there and think, I'm going to go over here and you're going to tell these birds to come feed me. How do I know? See, everywhere else it's a drought and you say there's water at this brook? You need to stop thinking for yourself all the time. Don't let the government think for you. Let God think for you. Amen. Just do what He says. Anyway, Elijah did it. And things went well for him. He did according to the word of the Lord. He went and dwelt by the brook Cherith. That is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Came to pass after a while, the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, there's that word again. God will tell you what to do. He will have confidence in this, that God will tell you what to do. Jesus did not leave you orphans. He sent the Holy Spirit here to guide you, show you which way to go. He'll tell you which way to turn sometimes. When you're going down the road, He'll tell you turn left or right. He'll tell you stop. He'll tell you go. If you'll just listen to Him, let Him be the guide. He knows the beginning from the end. Did you know that? Said, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Well, that makes sense. That makes all the sense in the natural. We're in a drought, and you're going to send me over here to this widow woman? What's she going to do? You don't have to reason everything out. Just rise up and go do what God says to do. You know, He's not always going to make sense in the natural. Did you know that? He has a different way of dealing with things. He said, go over there. That widow woman, she'll take care of you. Well, it'd be all right to be a kept man, wouldn't it? So he arose, he went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering the sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God lives, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah could have said, did I miss you somewhere, God? I mean, you told me to go over here and this widow woman would take care of me, and now she just gave me this report, says she's out of food and oil, and her kid are going to die. This, right now is not the time for you to do all the quality thinking. When it's times like this, you let God do the thinking. You do the following. He does the leading. You do the following. Amen? I'm telling you, we're on the bubble of some of the most creative miracles that this country has ever seen. Right now, if the church will just get out of the way and quit trying to control everything, quit trying to figure everything out, and just let God do the doing. Amen? It's going to be a magnificent thing. The world is going to see it and say, wow! Well, down here in verse 13, Elijah said unto her, fear not. You know, that woman could have looked at him. I've had people say this to me. Preacher, I'm broke. And you want me to give some preacher some money? Are you out of your stinking mind? This woman could have said that. She said, preacher, didn't you just hear me say, I'm going to take these two sticks and go make the last of my food and feed it to my son and I, and then we could go ahead and die? Naturally speaking, that's what people say. I've heard churches say that. We can't even afford what we got going on, and you want us to give money to this other place? Yeah, I want you to shut up and bless somebody else so that God can meet your needs. Well, that don't make no sense. If you read the Bible, it makes perfect sense. Amen. Amen. He'll make it work. Elijah said real important word. Fear not. Just go. Fear not. Fear not. So what happens here? Go do as thou said, But make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and your son. She just said, man, I got enough for me and my son, and you want me to feed you and me and my son? Wayne Myers went on a mission trip. I mean, he's been all over the world, but he was telling me in his little book about, I was reading it in his little book, about this pastor in Mexico. They were going to have some kind of there's these pastors showed up to eat at his house, and he only had enough eggs for him and his wife and his kids. So he went down to the market, bought some more eggs, brought the eggs home, and they didn't have enough eggs. But when he cracked them open, they're all double yolk eggs. So everybody had enough eggs to eat. So this pastor said, I found the hen that lays the golden eggs, the goose that lays the golden eggs. He ran down there and bought all them eggs. All them other eggs were singles. What happened? God multiplied what they had and made it to be more than enough. But the first thing that had to happen is they had to take what they had and put it in his hands. Amen? Let's carry on here. He said, make me therefore a little cake first, bring it unto me, and make for thee and thy son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall thy cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. So she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she said, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. This lady was at the end of her rope. You could say that she didn't have anything left to give. But God found somebody that she could bless. And she blessed him, and because of that blessing, she had more than enough to eat for her and her son, and Elijah. And they made it all the way until the rain started falling again. That's when the meal stopped and the oil stopped. See, God's not into perpetual socialism. He'll take care of you and he'll keep you through hard times. But guess what? When things level out, you still got a pair of leather gloves. You can go back to work. But see what he did? He took a little bit. And out of her obedience and that preacher's obedience, he made a lot out of it. And those three got through the storm pretty well, wouldn't you say? I'd say they did pretty good. They had plenty of food. They had plenty of oil. They got through. And they were in a drought. A serious one. This whole story is contrary to nature. For without the woman having faith in God and in the word of his prophet, she would have been selfish enough to protect her own son as well as herself as long as possible from starvation. Faith enabled her to act according to the word of the prophet, and by faith she continued to have a supply throughout the famine, and then after it was over, the meal gave out and the oil failed. Isn't that cool? She made it through with more than enough. Look at Second Kings chapter 4, since we're in Kings. Second Kings chapter 4, verse 8. Well, let's go to verse 1. We'll get it all wrapped up here. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And a creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." Ain't you glad bankers don't do that now? They don't take your firstborn? Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." So there's something to work with. She had something. She had something to start with. "When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him, shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There's not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. Okay. She had one pot of oil. Told her sons to go gather up all the buckets you can find. Go get them. I mean, the boys could have sat there and said, "That old woman done lost her mind. What does she think she's going to do?" She said, "I'm going to step out in faith according to the word of God. And I'm going to receive a bountiful crop." My friend, he's got the coolest story ever. He planted some wheat up in Montana. And it didn't rain. He said, "Well, I don't need rain to grow wheat." There he said, "What's wrong with you? You need rain to grow wheat?" "Nah, I don't have to have rain to grow wheat." So it got harvest time. All those guys, they'd either tilled their wheat under or made hay out of it if they had any. But he called. It was time to call trucks in to haul the grain away. And this guy said, "Well, you want me to bring a little truck?" He said, "No, I want you to bring a big truck." The guy said, "Well, what makes you so special?" Said, "I'm believing for a big, full truck." Guess what he got? He got a big, full truck. The church is in the same boat. You know, you can believe for beanie weenies, or you can believe for prime rib. Which one do you want? You got the same God. You got the same blessing. You've got the same ability to receive the same blessings. Amen? Don't believe him for a bologna sandwich when you can get a ribeye. Now, let's carry on here. Then she came and told the man of God. He said, "Go, sell the oil, pay the debt, and live thou and thy children off the rest." Well, that got her out of the pinch. What had to happen first? She needed a word from God. And God sent her a word. Too many people were looking for a word from the world. They want some kind of security. They want something that they can sink their teeth into. They want some solid information. When is the oil field going to come back? You know, when are they going to stop laying off coal miners? When are they going to start selling coal? When is this going to come back? It's going to come back when it comes back. But you need to sink your word into the Word of God that says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And then let him be creative. He is a creative, miracle working God. Amen. And he's your Father. It's really, we're really sitting in a cool time right now. I know people don't want to hear that, you know, when everything's just a mess. But if you'll let God show up and show off in your life, you'll really see some amazing things happen. And I'm showing you ways to do that. Find somebody to bless. Find somebody to help. Find somebody to brighten their day. Do something. Get out of yourself and help somebody. Amen? Now, this same woman, right there in verse 8, says, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in there to eat. This woman, she was a widow woman. She didn't have any kids. Well, she had that one. She had a couple. But look what happened. She started feeding this preacher. I'm not making any calls for food, but feeding preachers is a good idea. I used to bless my pastors just out of the blue. A really cool way to bless your pastor is to bless their wife. I'd buy my pastor's wife flowers. People would say, well, why? Well, it makes her happy. He's going to be happy. There's different ways you can bless. Amen? But look what happens down here in verse 37. With this woman, verse 27. Where am I at? I lost my page. Chapter 4. Verse 37. Start up at verse 34. When he went up, lay upon the child, put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then he went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. This woman had developed a relationship with this preacher. She had actually kind of made a special room for him. He would travel through there. He had a place to stay. He had food to eat when he was going about his day. You know, he gave her the word of God, and God got her out of a pinch, and then her son died. Her son died. But she sent for this prophet. And he come back to her, and her son came back to life. Too many times people try to build the fort in the storm. You know, when a storm hits, they try to get this house built that they was thinking about, you know, for several months or several years. They thought that maybe they should learn a little bit about the word of faith. Maybe they should get something to stand on and build their house upon the rock. But they got busy and they were building their business or they were building their career or whatever it was they were doing, and they didn't get to building their house. Then the storm hit, and then they had to build it in the storm. Well, this woman, She had to build her house in the storm too. When he came and told her to pour that oil out, she was in a storm. But once she got that storm built, once she got that storm shelter built on that word, started trusting in God, the next time a storm hit, she had it. It was easy. That's a creative miracle. Her son came back to life. What happened? God delivered her, and she stayed hooked up with God. She kept on, that prophet kept coming through there, and she kept feeding him, kept boarding him. And then when that next thing happened, it was right there. Too many times I've seen people where their life was a wreck, they get born again and they start going to church and they get under that anointed word of God and they start, the blessings would start coming into their life. They'd get their wife back, they get their truck back, they get their job back, whatever it was, they get busy again, they get going again, they get the house, and then they'd stop going to church. They get too busy. And then their house, their wife, their pickup, their job goes away. And they're back in there, wondering what happened. Well, you had it right the first time. You just got too busy to maintain it. God wants you to have good careers and good jobs and good houses and everything else. But he wants those to be based on him and wrapped up in him. Amen. We don't want to get our eyes off of Jesus. So many times we get to focused on the blessing till we lose track of the blesser. When you get your eyes on him, on the blesser, the blessings are going to be there because they're all wrapped up in him. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for your never failing, never ending love and care for us. Father, we thank you for your creative miracles in our lives. Father, we thank you for taking care of us. You are the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. You always take care of us. You always maintain us. You always bless us. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, we have coffee and snacks back here and fellowship.